Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Matrix Mouth Miller.
How you doing there, Blake Buck?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little sad we don't have Justin Fick this week.
Justin Fick is currently crunching for a brand new Facebook game. Not Facebook game, iPhone game. For all you guys out there, it's probably the last game he'll get to make without being reamed by his new corporate overlord, Dingy Mocha.
I wish we had him on the show so he could talk about this, but Freeverse got bought out by NG Moco like last week. I don't know what I think. I'm hesitant to be approving of this decision. It seems like a bad move, like financially for the Freeverse guys, but
it's probably a great move financially for the Smiths, but we won't get into that.
They're upgrading their old, remember that old place they had, that little like crap place they had on like,
all right. Well, essentially, here's what happened to Freeverse, guys. They were around for a really long time. Freeverse has been around for a decade or more, yeah, making Mac games.
How is that possible? Anybody last in the Mac gaming industry?
I do not know. I think they ported things when people used to care. But anyway, they used
that's
to operate.
That's about to end,
little...
by the way. There's a big announcement this week. But continue.
All right. Okay. Well, they used to operate out of a brownstone in downtown New York, right? And now, and like they had Justin Fick in the basement.
Yeah, I remember Justin and Bruce used to work in the basement.
Yeah, all those guys used to work in the basement. I don't know, like Steve Zay and all the marketing dudes got to hang out upstairs where there's actually like circulating
and
air
and the kitchen.
Food.
Remember there was the kitchen that was directly attached to the office.
Right. So they upgraded to a new studio. I think they got like 50 people working for them now since the iPhone came out. They're laughing all the way to the bank. Because that's, you know, what all Apple developers have been doing ever since that device was hit the shelf.
I need to go back in time and just like, instead of going to high school, I'm going to learn how to code iPhone games. And I'm going to make bank, dude. That's my time machine strategy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So anyway, they just got bought out by NG Moco, who actually is they're a pretty new company. They were started up by Neil Young.
They make good games.
Or somebody. They make good games. They make, you know, pretty decent. They made, what did they make? They made that.
Good old Rolando.
Rolando
2.
And,
a couple other of those kind of like casual, but they're sort of pushing the edge of casual. I forget. I wish I remember the list. I have like five of their games. But they're a pretty good studio.
They are. And it's really interesting. Their whole business model has shifted over to free-to-play, but like microtransaction-based games. So, and I'm sure that that's where they're going to move Freeverse to. But we'll see. But listen, William Miller, he does not like working for a corporate overlord. He doesn't like it. And if I were Justin Fick, I'd get out.
Okay. All right. Why don't you just, you know, pull out your lyre and write us a little poem about the value of being an independent game developer.
I'll get on that. So anyway, no Justin Fick today.
Anyway, this is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, March 10th, 2010. This week in the news, Gaki Gate, there's more drama with the Gaki Gate, and also Gaki as a Bayonetta game designer battle. And also, I've got some news about Valve and Mac gaming. All this and more on this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever.
All right, Blake Buck, so our favorite game designer, Tomonobu Itagaki, he's been out of the news recently. Last we heard from him, he had just beat Tecmo in lawsuit. For those of you who don't remember our shows about this a while back, they forgot to pay Itagaki. And Gaki doesn't like that.
No,
he
they just didn't
mad.
Pay him like his absorbent, like breast bonus that he demands once a year.
Right. They didn't pay him breast bonus. And so he sued them and they countersued him and there were like secret tapes and all this stuff. Oh, it was a legal battle for the ages. Yasuda, Papa Yasuda got real mad. But anyway, they settled all that, right? He got his money. And he left. So he left Team Ninja. And we hadn't really heard from him since. Team Ninja has gone on to start making that new Metroid tape for Nintendo. But Tomonobu Itagaki, he left. But they have finally settled this suit. And so Tomonobu Itagaki claimed damages 148 million yen. Now, that's probably like $1,000 or something. But, you know, to him, that's probably quite a lot. But so anyway... Yasuda also later resigned from the company in shame.
Then he stabs himself in the stomach from left to
right. Seppuku, right? It's the only way he can regain his honor. So anyway, but Gaki wasn't done. Now that he's got that out of the way, he set his sights on some new things.
All right.
Thing number one is a bald-headed but not gay Bayonetta designer, Hideki Kamiya. Now, Hideki Kamiya has criticized Iigaki in the past for the gratuitous use of breasts in his video games. Right. I'm not kidding. The guy said, let's see, quote, "It's a huge mistake to think like an idiot that big breasts on women seem erotic."
What? Wait, you said now, he wasn't gay?
So, of course, you know, Itagaki didn't like that. Right?
anyone that speaks against breasts are immediately on Itagaki's hit list.
That's right. And so Gaki fired back saying, "My daughter tried to play Okami. And she got pretty sick of it quick. And then I got sick of it, too." So I hear Kamiya said something about action genre not moving forward in 8 years. Can you tell me more about that? Or was he asleep for 8 years?
Dude, I love this, like, Japanese game developer shit-talking. It's like we're in eighth grade again. I love it.
Dude, it's eighth grade in feudal Japan is what it is. Dude, these guys are going to have assassins after each other. So after putting Kiyama in his place, or Kamiya in his place, Gaki has founded a new game studio in Tokyo. Uh-oh. Now, we thought this thing was going to be called Tokyo Vikings, mm-hmm. but it's actually called Valhalla. Now, that's taken from Norse mythology. Valhalla is the Viking heaven where you can eat and drink and fight.
And fight.
Until
that's
Ragnarok.
The key. You fight right. as well as drink and fuck.
Right. So right now there are actually 50 employees at this place, and they're working on some new tape.
All
and
right.
Gaki isn't talking about it, but
yeah,
he's up to something.
You can't get a game like. I don't think you can get an Itagaki level, or at least what he's used to producing. I mean, think Ninja Gaiden, think Dead or Alive. I don't think you could put a game like that together with 50 people.
You don't think so? I think the formula is pretty much. I mean, he's made that game like 5 times. I think it'll be all
right. That's true. They could outsource some of it, but. I don't know. Look, I'll believe it when I see some screenshots, some video. All right. Yeah, right now, it's all talk.
I mean, look, he's hiding that power. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some kind of action game with a Bayonetta-like heroine just to spite the the Kamiya guy.
Yeah, I could,
just to spite him.
I could see him like starting some shit come E3.
Yeah.
So, perhaps so. Dude, I love Itagaki, though. We've said this on countless podcasts. He is like the original Japanese badass of game development. Like you think,
I know, if any,
you think that old John Romero has some. Well, I guess John Romero was kind of the first video game rock star, but definitely the bar has been set by Tomonobu Itagaki.
Definitely, and if anybody can get Tomonobu Itagaki on this show, that would be awesome. I mean. We've gotten Uwe Ball. We marked him off the bucket list. And we're going to set our sights on Tomonobu. So if you guys, if any of you Monglers out there in Tokyo can find him for us.
We would need
a
Japanese translator.
We'd probably need copious amounts of women to appease him during the interview.
We just have to have orgasm noises like constantly in the background so he wouldn't lose interest.
Well, Blake, you can record those, I'm sure. You're good at making soundtracks with your mouth.
There's one. All right, so moving on from this news, there's actually, can you believe it, big news in Valve this week that does not involve Left 4 Dead. I know you're shocked, William Miller.
I don't believe it.
I know. Well, they started off the week, they patched old Portal and added all these sort of like little codes to the source code. You know, whenever Valve patches anything, all these homos on the internet go and they search through the code and look for secret messages and stuff, and then they cry to pictures of women that they can't fuck on the internet.
Now, this is actually really the codes you're referring to are pretty sophisticated. It's like there's hidden Morse code in there.
Oh, yeah, and there's all these like sort of like grainy, like digitally
not only that, but pictures. So there's all this hidden Morse code, right? And if you decode the Morse code into ASCII, I think you get pictures.
Yeah.
Like how I don't even know. Like I guess they figure the internet will do anything we tell them.
Yeah, I guess when you get important enough that people are willing to go through this shit, why not challenge him? You know, why not? We're going to put together the most convoluted marketing plan that's ever been conceived by anyone. You know, what was it? I Love Bees or something for Halo 2? Let's do that times 10.
What I don't understand is, like, everybody knows there's going to be another Halo or another Portal.
Right.
So what's the point? Like, you know what the answer is going to be.
I mean,
new Portal. That's what it's going to be. When you de-scramble all that code. New Portal. That's what you're going to get.
I couldn't agree more, because it's like, clearly they haven't gotten their Half-Life franchise together in time, and Left 4 Dead is wearing thin. They've got to go to some other title. Either it's got to be Team Fortress or Portal, or God forbid, they actually come up with a new IP, Blasphemy, right? So it seems like Portal is going to be the most likely candidate. So their patch of the game, they patched it earlier this week, added some of these little codes. Then they patched it again later this week and actually altered the ending of the game. So, Wayne Miller, did you ever actually play Portal all the way through?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something, Blake Buck. Wayne Miller really hates Portal.
Oh, come on, fag. What is this?
Now, here, listen, there are two reasons Wayne Miller hates Portal. I played it for a little bit. I played for like 10 minutes. It's all right, but I hate two things. I hate the damn song.
What song? That game has no music at all in it.
It's got the song. It's got the song at the end.
Okay, at the very end, but clearly you never got there, or else you would love this game.
I hate that, and I hate the stupid cake. I don't want to hear about your cake, and I don't want to hear about your song
anymore. You're hating this game because of what people have responded to it on the internet, all right? You're not responding based on what you played in the game. You're only responding to what you've seen online.
Correct.
Well, that's bullshit. Why should, if I make a game and I make it good, why should it have to be judged based on the merits of, if the internet buzz is good or not?
I didn't say the game was bad. I just said I don't like it. It's turned into a meme that William Miller does not like.
That is true. It does have sort of this, like, internet following that I dislike, but...
Yeah, if I see one more, like, stupid cake in some indie game or hear that song one more again, you know, I'm going to shoot myself.
Well, look, here's what really happened. William Miller played Portal for about 10 seconds, realized that it involved creative, like, logical thinking, and then his dyslexic brain just shut down hardcore. And he was like, I'm going to go play my Final Fantasies where I just click A on attack.
That's what I like.
So anyway, they altered the ending, and the original ending... spoiler alert, just in case you haven't beaten it, but you escape from the facility, right, after defeating sort of this renegade artificial intelligence, and you're sort of left in the street, and the street's kind of like on fire, but you're outside, and it seems like, maybe now I'm going to adventure forth and something else is going to happen, but it's not really clear. So I just watched the new ending, which you can find on Kotaku or any of these news sites, and it's the same ending, but at the end of the game, it sort of tricks you. Earlier, before the end of the game, it's like, well, you've won the game. Now assume the victory position. Lie on the floor with your face down and wait for a party associate to escort you to the party. Right. So that was sort of like a running gag in the game. Well, now when you beat the game, it says the same thing, but like somebody says, like, you're in the party escort position. I'm now taking you to the party. So it's a slightly different ending, implying that maybe you're going to a second, like, portal facility, perhaps. Again, not really clear, but...
What? That's exactly the same thing. Well, I don't understand.
No,
when
you're just...
I don't understand.
In the original ending, you're just, like, on the street. In the new ending, like, a robot is dragging you away to some place that you don't know where it is. It's slightly different, and to me, it implies that there's a second portal facility that you're going to have to defeat before you can escape.
So it's just going to be Portal again.
Portal one more again, I think, is what it actually says at the end.
And a damn cake and that stupid song.
Shut up, dude. All right, dude. So more Valve news. This is the most exciting news I've heard on the Mac gaming front since ever. And that's not hard. That's not a hard bar to get across. So apparently, all this week, Valve has been hinting at a Mac release of Steam. William Miller, I know you're shocked.
No, I mean, it's a logical move. There's an iMac in, like, you know, every affluent household now.
This is true.
The saturation of these machines is, you know, they're everywhere. Plus, it's not very hard to port a game to Mac anymore.
Apparently,
I mean, it's pretty
with
trivial.
What's their name?
I think
what are those guys'
you know,
names? Transgaming.
Transgaming, yeah, it's the cider thing. But even without that, it's still pretty trivial. I mean, like, you know, game studios release games for multiple platforms all the time now. It's really not a big deal to port things. So this seems like a pretty logical move to me.
Yeah, on the
when I saw Freeman dressed up as that iMac.
They've got several of their classic, you know, franchise character dressed up in sort of Mac attire. In fact, if you look close on the Freeman picture, you can actually see a Mac logo just behind his crowbar there.
Oh, that's another thing I hate is that damn cube.
Dude, just because you didn't play the game. See, here's what happened. Like, you saw all the hype, like, before you played the game, and now you hate the game. But you should have played the game and then seen the hype and could have been like, I can abstract myself from this hype and still enjoy the game.
No, I don't want to do that.
No, I don't want to take a logical, assertive stance on this. I won't be dumb.
No, I'm going to take an illogical, assertive stance on this. I don't like it. That hype, it ruined it for me.
So, no official announcement has been made, but it seems like possibly at GDC next week, maybe E3, we'll see some sort of Valve. I would probably say GDC is more likely because it seems like they're trying to ramp up to say something soon. And God, I hope that all my all my dozens of Steam purchases will transfer to the Mac without some sort of extra licensing cost, because you know they want to fuck me.
Now, Blake. I think the lineup is going to be pretty thin to start with. I'm sure they'll have their, you know, their Half-Life.
Yeah, it'll be the first party
their
title.
Portal and, you know, all that. But I don't think, you know, you're going to have every title.
Well, yeah, but even if it's just the Valve collection, you know, their games that they've made, that's still a huge boon to Mac gaming. Just be able to delete that goddamn worthless Windows partition off my Mac will be a small victory enough as it is.
Maybe that's why I don't play games. Maybe, like, having a Mac all these years just, like, sucked all desire for me to play computer games away. I don't know.
Look at your boot camp, son.
Dude, I don't want to do that. Well, how many units you think this is going to push? I mean, relative to the PC landscape. I mean, Valve, Steam is essentially PC gaming. If we took that and put it on the Mac, are we going to see the same?
You got to keep in mind how many copies has, like, let's just take Portal, for example. Or let's just take Portal. How many copies has Portal sold? Probably with the Xbox release and then the separate XBLA release and then the PC release. It's probably sold somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 million. I'm just making that number up, but it's an estimate. I would say,
dude, more than that, man. I'd say probably 5 or 6.
Well,
no, maybe not
let's
5
say
or
four
6.
Or
maybe
five.
Like 4
okay,
or 5.
Okay, we'll compromise. I'd say on the Mac, you'd at least see maybe 1 million, maybe, after a couple months, after maybe a year. You'd probably see 1 million after a year, somewhere in that neighborhood.
You should probably, well, yeah, on the Mac, but I'd say probably get 1 million units moved from,
And especially if they get a new title, I mean, these titles aren't going to sell that much because they're old now, but if they were to push a new title and it's available day one on the Mac as well as the PC, they're going to ship a lot more units than they probably normally would, even though computer gaming as a whole is sort of on the downhill.
Let me tell you something, Blake. Let me explain to you. Now, in order for... See, the games that are on Steam are too much for the Mac audience. If you show a Mac user Half-Life, even
they're trying
the
to look for the
really,
Finder.
They're gonna freak out. They're not gonna be able to play it. It's gonna be too real. It'll scare them.
Dude, okay. What is this where you think everybody's dumb? Like, are you kidding me?
We gotta take some steps back, Blake. I mean, we gotta put, like, I don't know, Oni on there or something.
Oni?
You know?
Boy, yeah, what?
Wasn't that old Ubisoft game? Wasn't it Ubisoft that did
even
Oni?
Remember. I remember a game called Oni. I remember liking it. And I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, it was...
Oh, yeah, it had that chick. It had that, like, hot chick in it that wanted to bang. And it's like, oh, I want to play this game because I want to bang that chick. Right.
Oh,
same thing
man.
With it. What was that PlayStation 2 game? It had one of those. Kinetica, I think it was called. It was a stupid-ass, like, what was that game? It was a racing game that was a ripoff of Excite, not Excite Bike. What was the one on Extreme G, maybe? Oh my God, there's so many games. I can't even remember them all. But it.
Did it have a chick you wanted to bang?
It was like, okay, Extreme G, you drove around on motorcycles. In Connecticut, they took motorcycles and turned it into Hot Chick with wheels on her hands and legs. It was the most innovative game of all time.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
I remember seeing it in stores when I was in like eighth grade, and I was like, I gotta give me a PS2. I'm gonna get good use out of that game.
right now.
Anyway, so is that all the news? Are we done talking about this Valve nonsense? Anything to add?
I don't think so. I mean, it's going to be cool. I'm going to get it. I mean,
again, hopefully the transfers, my account will match over from my PC side, and I won't have to pay any fee or anything to use the Mac portion. But then again,
oh man, maybe I wonder if I don't know if there are going to be any of the 2K games on there, because if they are, I can use my my free 2K code key to get all of them
key.
For free.
You're supposed to send it to me.
All right, time for releases, Blake Buck.
Learn your place, bitch. I say that.
All right, this week in releases, we got Supreme Commander 2. Now, Blake, what was the game that Derek Smart made?
Oh, it was something Commander. It was like Ultimate Commander or Supreme Combat, one of the something like that. It's Universal Combat, I think it was called.
That's it, or something. Somebody tell us what that is, because he's been trying to make the same goddamn game for forever. I don't even know if he's still alive. But anyway, anytime I hear Supreme Commander, I always think of Derek Smart. You know that like cheesy picture of him, like the only one on the internet of him? Yeah. He's in that bar. Like,
if you're ever an asshole on the internet, do not have any photos ever, because all it takes is one to have your face photoshopped onto a dick that fast.
Blake knows firsthand. We also got Battlefield.
I was going to mention Supreme Commander. I've been looking at the footage of this game. It looks pretty good, but like the level design, you know, because it scales, right? So you're like a little tiny dude, and then it scales up to massive units too, and then even like, I guess, eventually air and space units. But it's sort of like one of the things I've noticed in all the screenshots, the levels look really generic. They're like, I hate to use the old analogy of N64 levels, because they're not that bad, but like the level design is very kind of bland because of the scaling, you know? And supposedly it's pretty decent, but I got my eye on it.
No, this looks all right. Looks all right. All right. We also got Battlefield Bad Company 2 coming out for PS3 and Xbox 360, I suppose. Now, I'm actually pretty glad they made another one of these, because Battlefield Bad Company 1 was really funny and good, but this one looks so
serious. I like that. They're kind of chasing the tail of Modern Warfare 2, I think, with their...
Oh, that's what this game was. It was like the comic relief to Modern Warfare. Like the first game, they're searching for gold. Like that's funny, right? That made me laugh, and I like that game because of that. And it's like logo was a grenade with a smiley face on it. This one looks like they got the artist, the character designer from Metal Gear Solid, to come in there and make all these like grungy, you know, like
okay,
dude.
Okay.
I don't know. Like quit trying to make Battlefield. You ain't gonna do
Modern
that.
Warfare.
Modern Warfare. Like make something different. That's
I agree
why
with
the
you
first
partly,
so
but
good.
At the same time, you and me are not the norm. All right, the average gamer. It's what, 24 years old, unemployed, doesn't have a girlfriend, and he looks at that tape, right? And he says, ooh, this Modern Warfare 3. I mean, this is who you have to market to. And if this is, I mean, if you've got to make these sacrifices, I guess so be it.
I guess. I don't know. I like the first one so much. The second one just seems like such a big deviation from the first. And the first one was great. I mean, like, the first one was a joke. It's like it starts out as real serious, you know, shooter game. You're in the war, you're shooting dudes, and then, gold. You got to go get that gold. It's awesome. It's awesome. The only thing that can make that game better is like, I don't know, T-Pain in it or something.
Whoa!
I've decided that if 50 Cent gets a game, T-Pain is one. Like, what would T-Pain's adventure be?
Dude,
somebody steals
not
his
even funny.
Or he's
I bought
go get
Auto-Tune like last week, right? Did I tell you this already?
Dude, isn't it awesome? It's awesome.
Dude, I love Auto-Tune. Anyway, so this is a side story, but to license Auto-Tune, you got to have this thing called an iLock. You ever heard of these things, Dwayne Miller? Okay, well, imagine you're in the year 1998. Everybody's using dongles to license their software, right? Fast forward to modern times where we don't do that shit anymore. What the fuck? I still got to buy one of these retarded ass dongles to use AutoTune. So I went and bought my dongle from Guitar Center, right? I got the thing in. It works for like a week. I'm T-painting it up. Oh, shit. Now it's broken. I got to send it into the company. They want my credit card number. They want to know like how many times I take a piss a day. My first four children's names. Ugh. What a nightmare, dude. Dongles are the worst authorization system on the fucking planet. Anyway, side note done. AutoTune is awesome. What else we got? MLB 10, the show. Lunar, Silver Star, Harmony coming out.
Hang on. Go back to MLB 10. All right, y'all go buy this game. Please.
What is it, 2K? Is that what this
Please
is?
Please go buy this game. Please go buy this game. Please. Please. We had this corporate like the corporate conference call today. And that's like it's like a public thing. Like they released a quarterly earnings report, which were actually really good. They were much better than expected, but they were like, "Hey, y'all, we only lost $30 million on our MLB contract." Only $30 million this year. $30 million. Like we're like 2K is like locked into this this contract with the Major
you know
League
what?
Baseball
you know what?
To make their stupid games forever. But this one's actually their game, MLB 10, the show. Okay. I don't know if this is the same game or not, but the 2K MLB game, 2K baseball or whatever it is, it's actually a really, really good game. If you played the last one, 2009, it's a significant step up from that. Y'all, please go back.
Dude, whatever. Okay, so Blake Buck this weekend, somehow he got roped into going to an Ole Miss baseball game. I don't know how the fuck this happened. Let me just tell you why Madden moves off the shelves and MLB sits there like the retarded child at the bus stop. Baseball fucking blows, dude. Like, have you ever watched it? Good fucking God, everybody's standing around. They miss the ball like 9 out of 10 times. Like, if you were watching golf, obviously the most boring sport of all time, hands down, right? What would you say, like, if they hit the ball and it went, like, off to the right too far, right? You'd say, oh, that's bullshit. He loses a point, right? Let's get the next guy up there. But in baseball, that's, like, the fucking norm to fucking fuck up all the time. Let's watch a sport where they fuck up constantly. Dude, I am so done with baseball. That was like my only exposure in my adult life to that sport, and I'm fucking done with it. Oh, here's your game down here, Wayne Miller. Major League Baseball 2K10, PS3, PC, Wii.
Oh, that's it. Major League. Don't go buy the show. Go buy Major League Baseball 2K10. That's what you want.
Hey, yeah.
Yo, go get that.
Dude, that's not going to make you any money. Like, that money doesn't go into your pocket if our fans buy that game.
I know, it's sad. You know what they're doing? They have this contest. This is what they did instead of... All right, never mind. They got this contest that they're going to give $1 million to the first person in this game that can throw a perfect... That can pitch a perfect game. $1 million.
Is that for real? That's not for a real $1 million. Like a joke $1 million. Like
no, $1 million,
like
I swear.
Like in-game $1 million.
No. $1 million. I swear. That's like their promotional campaign for this game. We will give you $1 million... If you could pitch a perfect game, which apparently, you know, is pretty hard. But
I would hope so.
First person
blow
to do
it. If it was day one. Then again, you know, somebody's like, day it came out, just hitting A over and over again, or whatever you do. I don't even know how that game works. What do? Like, massage the ball? Like, I don't even know. What a crap game. Dante's Inferno coming out on PSP.
Wait. We forgot Mega Man 10.
I thought that was already...
Out on WiiWare.
On Wii.
On WiiWare. Right. Come on.
Final Fantasy 13 coming out March 9th. It's coming out on 360. When is it coming out on PSP? Like a month later or something like that? Something around there. Anyway, it's on three tapes. Or excuse me, I guess three discs on Xbox 360. And I heard that there is an install time for like... or maybe there's an optional install time because not all 360s have hard drives. something like that. But hopefully it'll be good. I actually haven't read a whole lot about it. I'm going to be excited. What, are you going to go out and grab this the week it comes out?
Yeah, baby. Of course I am. Look, I'm going to go grab this and play it for about 10 minutes. But I've heard some pretty good reviews of it. It's apparently a little bit different. Like they try to tweak the settings, you know, every iteration of this thing. But I think they try some new things, which is good. And I don't know, it looks pretty good. I want to bang the chick on the cover. So
dude, I thought that was a dude. Wait a minute. Let me see.
Is it?
Dude, that's a dude. Fuck. I'm pretty sure. Wait, let me look. You can't ever tell on these. I'm making it big. Oh, you're right. It is a chick. I see. I can clearly see up her skirt, so it must be a girl.
Oh, I wouldn't be so sure.
Oh, what's it? What we got up next?
Got Assassin's Creed 2.
That's on the
tape
PC.
Looks pretty hot. Now I watched the trailer, the TV trailer for Assassin's Creed 2, and they had a bunch of gameplay footage, and it looked all like glitchy and stuff. Did you notice that? It's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just like I'm used to seeing, you know, looking for glitches.
Well, that was sort of a visual component of the original, is that you're actually a person in the future who's going in like, I forget what the plot was exactly, some sort of like mind, you're looking back in your memories, and so they've got kind of this cyber computer glitchy stuff that happens. Maybe that's what you're talking about?
Maybe so. It just looked like, you know, bad edge detection to me, though.
Well, The original game was great, and supposedly, from what all I've heard, the sequel is great as well. So it's coming out on PC March 9th. Also, we've got Warhammer 40K. Why the fuck does this game still exist? Is the subtitle. Are you kidding me? How are they still making Dawn of War, dude? Like, I remember buying that game in 2003 or something when it came out, and they're still making. I guess this is like the expansion pack to the sequel. Ugh. Look, know when you're done, Relic Studios. Know when you're finished. I can't get on board of this. I mean, this is easily like the seventh or eighth iteration of the Dawn of War franchise since it's come out.
Look, I see this tape. Look, the Dawn of War wasn't bad.
I know. Well,
keep making them if they're good.
Shit, dude. Who's like, oh shit, the new one's gonna be amazing. The past seven were okay, but this eighth one's gonna blow me away. We've got Resident Evil 5 Gold Edition on the 360. It comes with the Gold Edition, and it has two of the new downloadable content packs built into it, which are $5 each on the 360, which kind of feels like I'm getting ripped off if I can go buy the game for $30 when the DLC is only like 15 with all the included.
Mm-hmm. But
anyway, I guess supposedly the new DLC is good. One's like in the original Resident Evil Mansion. They got new costumes and another mission, so it's supposed to be good.
My favorite game on this list here is, of course, The Rise of Prussia.
Oh, really?
Rise of Prussia takes players to an 18th century military conflict seldom covered in games or popular culture, placing them in charge of one of two sides involved in the Seven Years
War. Oh, boy.
And that sound gripping. I'm going to get Dave that for Christmas. He'll love it.
Look, just give me another World War II game. I don't need you trying to... Look, that's the only war that ever happened, as far as I'm concerned, in gaming. BlazBlue Portable is coming out on March 9th. BlazBlue is at 360. You know, it's the Guilty Gear guys made this new game, BlazBlue. It's supposed to be a good classic 2D fighter. I fucking hate fighting games, but it's supposed to be good, so whatever. And then a bunch of other trash. All right, I'm done with this. All right, time for judgment. Oh, shit, I got a double judgment this week. I'll go through it fast.
Also, real quick. William Miller got into the StarCraft 2 beta.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why they let him in.
Uh-oh. Is this a judgment?
You know what I'm... I don't know what this is going to be.
Aren't you Indy 8 or something being
I'm
in
so
that?
Tired.
No.
Ikaruga. No.
I think I just can't like stream like tapes of it.
Certainly
but
not
anyway,
to, like South Korea. They would like fucking study it.
Yeah.
Put it in.
Well, look, they're already there, believe me. William Miller logged on to the new battle.net, which is pretty slick, by the way. And got into that new StarCraft, also very slick.
And you guys
now, back in the day, see, when I was like 13, I was pretty good at that StarCraft, right? I was in that ladder. You know, I played all them races. I was pretty good. I could do that. Micro and macro. That's all right.
Admit it,
dude.
OMG, money map, no rush, 30 minutes. KK.
Oh, is that how it went? So anyway, this game is awesome. Like, it's exactly what you want. It's StarCraft again, 3D.
Yeah, I've always upheld exactly that the StarCraft 2 needs just a larger unit cap. In the original, it was 200. What is has that gone up since the original game? Because that was like the big limiting. Like, I wanted giant battles, and that was never really possible in StarCraft with it. I mean, it was bigger than Warcraft, but not like I wanted like send over a billion dudes, right? And you could never really do that in StarCraft. Has that changed?
Well, I don't know. I didn't survive long enough to hit the unit cap. But it could have changed. I don't know. But look, I'm going to play it a little bit more and give you proper judgment later. But it's pretty awesome. And what's really cool is Blizzard's like tweaking the game mm-hmm. all the time. And so, you know, you'll find some strategy on the internets that everybody's doing, some build order or something. And then, you know, Blizzard will tweak it and all the Koreans will move to a new strategy. So you go find that one and do it. So it's kind of like, it's rapidly changing. You can see how they're iterating on it.
I'm sure it'll be really fun when it comes out in 2013. All right, I got two quick judgments for you guys. No, first game is Chime. Came out on the XBLA a few weeks ago. It's a music-based puzzle game that definitely draws some elements from Luminace, but in kind of a more relaxed way. Like, your puzzle pieces sort of appear, and you fit them into a grid. It's like, imagine sort of if you combine Luminace and Quix. Did you ever play Quix, William Miller?
No.
Dude, that's like an arcade classic. You know, it's
oh, wait,
draw
wait.
The line.
Isn't that like, yeah. Okay, yeah, I have played that.
You know, in Japan, it was draw the titties on this girl, right?
Yeah, it was like, it was the porno game.
Right.
Yeah, I played that.
Okay, well, it's sort of like that. You're trying to fill up this grid, except there aren't titties underneath, so I know you're immediately not interested anymore. The gameplay is actually pretty low-key. It's cool because it's a game that if you don't want to, like, play it super intense, you can just sit there, and you're not really penalized for sitting there. You know, like Tetris, if you sit there, you lose in about 10 seconds, or maybe not that soon. But it's sort of, you go at your own pace. It's got a very cool soundtrack that, again, it's got the grid-based movement of Luminae, so, like, the more pieces you play, the more the music changes, kind of similar to Rez or any of those Q Entertainment games. It's also $5, pretty cheap, and supposedly it's part of this thing called Big Huge Game. It's something like 80% of the profits go towards charities. Things I didn't like about it, it's not super deep. You play it, you're trying to fill up the grid, but that's really all there is to it. There's only a handful of levels. There's also no multiplayer, but, I mean, I played it, you have fun, $5, it goes to charity, and I thought it was a pretty decent game. And you could definitely get into it, like, playing, and, you know, definitely when you crank your sound up, you're sort of getting in that groove, so $5, come on. Thumbs up. Second judgment I got for you guys. This one's probably going to be just as short as the first. Viva Pinata, Trouble in Paradise. So this is a... William Miller, did you ever play Viva Pinata?
I did.
Oh, really? I don't believe that.
You called my bluff.
Yes, I fucking knew it.
No, I think I played it at your house a couple times.
No, you didn't. You didn't know me played the first game. You didn't... When would you have played that? Let's sit down here and you tell me when you would have played that.
All right, children. Now, there was a dark time in Blake Buck's life. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
Very dark time.
Oh, you're talking... Uh-uh. Don't you even.
Yeah.
That's a real dark time. No, we're not talking about that. So basically, this is the sequel to Viva, the original Viva Pinata. It's got more pinatas, more environments, sort of a streamlined interface. The gameplay, I'm going to use the word can here, like with an underline. The gameplay can be very addicting. You know, you get a pinata, now you want another pinata, right? You sort of get addicted to getting more pinatas, filling up your little encyclopedia. The visual style is very unique. It's not, you know, it's not Halo 3, but it's got a unique character to it. A lot of the clutter of the first game has been sort of eliminated. The menus are a little simpler. The instructions are a little simpler. And it's something you can play with practically anybody, like a girlfriend or whatever, because it's real simple, at least most of the time. Things I didn't like about it is it's not entirely a new game. It's got a lot of recycled content from the first game. It's got pretty much all the pinatas in the first game, plus some new ones, as well as some new environments. But it's not totally new. In the first game, I remember the first time I played the first game, the tutorial is terrible because they throw everything at you at once. That's how it was in the first game. So I thought, oh, surely going to fix this by the second game. No, it's the same shit system as the first one. And finally, it can be horribly frustrating. William, you remember my friend Calvin, right? Well, anyway, Calvin used to love watching me play Viva Pinata. Because I would play it, and I couldn't get the crocodile to appear. And you got to have like 80 squares of water to make it appear. I'm digging the water. The fucker's not appearing. Calvin's just sitting over there laughing his ass off as I'm smashing on the fucking controller. It can be very frustrating. But it's not a bad sequel. It's only $20 now. You can get it from, you know, GameStop or pretty much anywhere. It's on Xbox Marketplace for $20. So if you have, if you played the first one and you want a little more, or you haven't played the first one at all, it's a lot of fun. So I give it a moderate thumbs up, not a total thumbs up, but $20, you can't beat it.
All right.
Now real quick, the Jag of the Week. Wait a minute now. I know you don't usually heed my janks, but I got a jank for you this week that's going to blow your face off. All right. It's on the XBLA, and it's an indie game. All right. And let me just preface this by saying this game costs $1. Okay. So it's a vertical scrolling shooter. And basically the premise is, okay, in most vertical scrolling shooters, you get one, you know, you get a man, right? You're shooting with your man, shooting enemies. And then you die, right? And then you got another man. Then you got, like, maybe three mans, and then it's game over.
Okay.
Well, in this game, they thought, well, that's pretty dumb. Why don't we just have all four mans play at once? So instead of playing one ship, you play four ships at the same time.
Okay, I like that.
So you're shooting with your gun with A, moving around with the left stick. R expands your guys, right? So instead of just being, like, a tight-knit group, they're bigger. And not only are they doing more, are they like taking up more surface area of the screen with their guns, they actually do a lot more damage. Like this beam comes out and they do a lot more damage. But not only that, you're not just capped at four dudes at once. You can have up to 30 ships on screen you're controlling at once. And not to mention, if you're playing two player, that's doubled to 60 ships on screen at once. Are you fucking kidding me? So it's like,
sounds like a winner to me.
It's like a balance between the bigger you get, the more damage you do. But at the same time, it's much harder to defend a whole screen full of your dudes than if you shrink them down to a tight little group. You know, you can maneuver the little group around easily to dodge bullets, but they don't do as much damage. But when they're super big, yeah, they're doing lots of damage. So it's an awesome like risk to reward, you know, ratio. It's $1, and one of the bosses, I shit you not, is a woman with giant breasts that shoots at you.
You remember that game Tamiki Fighters?
Oh yeah,
it's kind of that kind of reminds me of Tamiki Fighters. Yeah. That game was really really cool.
Yeah, same sort of thing. The bigger you get, the harder it is to dodge, but you know, more ass you're kicking. So anybody who owns an Xbox needs to go buy Shoot One Up on XBLA. It's new this week, and if it's not in the new list, you can go and just look up the name on under the marketplace. There you have it, the Jank of the Week. What we got now, Wayne Miller?
All right, so we'll do this. We'll do this discussion more in depth as more information comes to light. But today, and I guess today,
and yesterday,
it was announced that, or some people found out that the two guys, the heads of Infinity Ward, Vince Sempella and Jason West, have been ousted by
Activision. These are the guys that make Call of Duty too.
These are the guys that make Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and they were ousted for quote-unquote insubordination. So Monday, Activision filed a Form 10-K with the SEC, which is the form is basically saying, like, we're going to do some shit that will affect our stock. And that can be, like, fire employees or, you know, anything that could dramatically affect the stock. And the filing stated that Modern Warfare 2 is going to be developed at a different studio than Infinity Ward. And some more digging found that these two guys had been, like, ejected after a meeting with Activision on Monday. Their Facebook statuses reflect that. Their LinkedIn pages reflect that. So something went down. Nobody really knows what, but they gone. So, you know, lots of people are speculating, like insider trading, or, you know, to be fair, Infinity War did get kind of shafted. I mean, Bobby Kotick made it, you know, he made like $20 million the day this game came out. And they made, you know, no royalties off of it, almost. They got paid, but not nowhere near what the publisher made on it. So I could understand that they would be frustrated. So maybe as more information about this comes to light, we'll report on it. But we don't report. We'll make fun of it. But I can certainly understand like how this could have happened. I'm not going to speculate too much, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see when the facts come in. It sounds like somebody was mad, and now they fired. Maybe I question how big of a role the two of them had in the development of the game. Like, was it a whole team that sort of really... I've always said in the gaming industry, you have to follow people. If you want to really make money investing and know what games are going to move, you have to follow people. And I question whether the talent of that studio was solely reserved to these two guys, or if it was, they were just sort of like more figureheads and it was really an entirely talented team, probably a mixture of the two. So I don't know if they're going to go on to, if they did in fact get fired, if they're going to go on to make a new studio, if that would be successful or not.
Mm-hmm.
But
we'll see. I mean, they're probably going to do something, I'm sure, but
yeah,
you know, if they get sued or anything like that, you know, which could be coming down the pipe, we don't know, but it was a shakeup, you know, because Infinity War did a great job with that game, and you know that's what they make, and now they don't get to make it no more apparently. So it's kind of sad for them. But pretty much, if you work for, you know, if your studio's owned by somebody, you know, you express your opinions with them, and then you do what the fuck they tell you to. You know, that's just what you got to do, and you know that's just how. So people on like Twitter or whatever are vilifying Activision for, you know, firing these guys. But fact is, we don't know what happened.
That's true.
A and B, you know, they could have been assholes.
That's true.
You know, we don't know.
You hear this a lot, especially in the music industry, but how hard is it to really like self-publish as a developer? I mean, where does the role of the publisher really stand in 2010? Could Infinity Ward, I'm assuming this hadn't happened, right? Could Infinity Ward, if their contract was up with Activision, could they have made their own publisher at that point? I mean, being as esteemed as they were going into Modern Warfare 2.
I don't think so yet. I mean, Modern Warfare 2 had one of the largest, if not the largest, media buy of any video game ever released. And, you know, a studio that's devoted to developing the game would have to essentially double in size to accommodate orchestrating that kind of marketing push. I mean, you need the publisher
marketing
for lots
push,
and lots
dude,
of reasons.
That game
but
was
the main
sold
one,
on the multiplayer strengths of alone of the original. There was no marketing for Modern Warfare 2. They put a poster in Best Buy.
It was an incredible
Buy.
Amount of marketing.
It was like a Best Buy Utah. They put a poster in, and that was it.
No. There was a huge
there was
marketing
not.
Campaign for that
there
game.
Was
it was
not.
Blake, they spent an inordinate amount of
money.
Okay,
well, I'm sure they did, but
game.
At the same time, had they not, would that game have sold? Of course it would have.
I don't think it was sold as well. It would have sold, but I don't think it was sold as well.
I beg to differ.
So anyway, the publisher is important, but while I don't think that a studio like Infinity Ward could go off and self-publish now, it might be something that could be possible when, for example, the GameStops of the world are gone. Which you don't think will ever happen, but I think
I did not say it would never happen. I said it's not happening anytime soon.
But like, if you think about, you know, iPhone developers or Facebook developers, they're all self-published.
Yeah.
You know, there is no publisher. Zynga does not have a publisher. You know,
right.
NGMoco does not, or Freeverse does not have a publisher.
That'll be true in the gaming industry in maybe 20 years. Maybe sooner, but 10 years at the minimum before that kind of like, rapid change happens. Internet is not prolific enough in American society, let alone global society, for that kind of change to happen.
I agree. And I also think that just like in the movies business, making a video game requires a lot of money and a lot of infrastructure, especially a AAA title. Mm-hmm. And as a studio, as an independent studio, it's very, very difficult to get that money and that infrastructure. If you have a publisher that you're working with, even if they don't own you, they're fronting the cash. I mean, an independent studio operates usually on a pretty slim margin. And, you know, they don't have a lot of chance to grow beyond their bounds unless they have some publisher step in and say, here's some more money so you can make a bigger right. game. You know what I mean? And so I think they play a pretty important role in that aspect of AAA, in the AAA spectrum, right? But for games with lower overhead, shorter development cycles, and no need for a publisher because they already have a distribution system, those are the kinds of games I think that you're not going to see in that system anymore.
Well, just a side note, dude, Avatar is still in theaters in Oxford. Are you kidding me? Like, you can still go see it right now. It's been out for years, I think. 2 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, so is that all we want to say about till Infinity War for now?
Yeah, we'll keep tabs on this one. If something interesting comes up, we'll make fun of it.
All right, now it's time for feedback. Let's run through these as quick as we can. Else Buddy says, oh, hi, sorry about the last email. When I type fast, my dyslexia gets cranked up as well. Can we send MP3s instead of using the phone line? Drowning his sorrows in chicken because of the last email failed, Else Buddy. Yes, do I sign up to battle as an apology? A, yes, you should sign up as an apology. And B, you can send us MP3s. In fact, that would be preferable since our listener line is still being... Actually, no, it's just audio hijack is being dumb. But we'll get that working.
All right. Yeah, and we will put you in the queue for battle. Alexander R. says, I will regret this later, but I thought I'd at least apply for battle. Since you've been saying you don't have any participants for two episodes, at least you haven't gotten to catch up further. Signing up for battle, I accept the challenge. And then he goes on to write something in Swedish, maybe. I guess. I don't know. I'm too lazy to translate it. So he goes on to say what time zone he's in and that he lives 20 miles in the country and doesn't have a car. Look, we don't care about that.
Look, right? Drive
you, you
to
get,
Florida.
If you get a call for us, it does not matter.
So, yeah. All right. Beetle says, soup guys. I guess it's supposed to be sub. Beetle here with some heat. Okay, last show was DDD. I'm up for the pyramid scheme thing eventually. Problem is I spend all my money on wee boo boo bullshit like Miller, but I'll try and scrape something together. I would be up for the mock stock market thing right now, though. Everyone puts in $10 and the winner gets it all. That would rape faces, but the good kind. More, and we got a little bit to add to that a little later. More on iPhone judgments. They are the only games I play. Fick, you'll happy to know that I steal all my iPod games except for Freeverse ones. Oh, how nice. Oh, and Beneath a Steel Sky because I want them to make a second game of that. Insert Miller's rant about that's my fucking paycheck. Dude, this email's real long. Oh, Fick, what's the name of the iPhone game you're working on? Dude, he's not going to tell you that. Buck, I...
It's coming out soon, though. It's
like next
out really
week
soon,
or week after?
So... I think it's he's got like 9 more days to work on it till it goes to cert. So in 2 weeks probably it'll be up.
Buck, I added you on Steam. I'm never on that because it's not a Mac yet. Miller, talk about wee boo boo bullshit so I can get excited. A few more things. Live show every show. Pseudo Sushi, set it up right. That's hard to say. Pseudo Sushi is a hard word to say. Don't you have a chat? Don't have chat or just don't look at the chat because it always goes to shit when you look at the live chat. I just want to listen and chat with the Monglers. Well, what's the point? Why don't you just listen? If there's no chat, why don't you just listen to the show and tell yourself it's live? Like, what's the difference? Send out a tweet when you're going to record. Yeah, supposedly Pseudo Sushi is setting that stuff up for us. So I don't know. He's got an email for us. Wimmy, you want to take this next email?
All right, Pseudo Sushi says, sup my crackers, buh. The reason for the delay in completion of the site is I fucked up. After a few weeks of no podcast, I fell behind and put my efforts into business. Oh, and I bought another Xbox, so my time has been devoted to achievement whoring. Pseudo Sushi dumb. But there is hope. Having the podcast back in business got me pumped for the site again. Blake Fat, Miller Smart, and Fick Rape. But keep the show up, Blake Smart, but also Fat.
Dude, why does Fick get rape? And I get fat. This is not fair.
I'm content with smart.
Calyx. Hey, all. I haven't written in a while, but between school and Mega Man level and the Mega Man level boss, I've been dealing with an antibiotic freak strain of Salmonella Man that I got over winter break, and I haven't had time to ride, blah, 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 blah. Ooh. Just want to say I enjoyed episode 61 and a half for what it was. I really like the idea of a quick little show to tie us over when you can't get your entire crew together. That's pretty much what we're doing now. Actually, I guess this is kind of a full show, William Miller. We just don't have Fick.
Yeah.
I'd rather do a quick little distraction if you can't get everybody on to the half-ass than trifecta show. Just a thought. Busting out on Cliffy B's face, $300. Dude, where's Cliffy B? We haven't heard from him in a while.
I don't know.
What's Matt L got for us?
I don't know. All right, Matt L says, I will be willing to pitch money into the communal stockpot. Being a lifetime gamer, the idea of games paying me back is appealing.
I think it's next one, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sam L says, you can set up the you can set the difficulty of Bayonetta demo when you start it up on 360. It's not just set to hard. Yeah, when we turned on that Bayonetta demo, right? You see Bayonetta. You see Bayonetta. She's you know, calm, placid. You see beautiful sky in the background, whatever. Camera pans out, and she's on this, like, falling chunk of church, like, in demon dimension or something.
All right. Next email, Norseman Sebastian says, hey, y'all gods of gaming, now that you killed off Stomp, it was actually Stump, not too long ago, but the other day I got all nostalgic about a Mac game I had back in the day when I was a little sprout. Now, in hope of I caught a little of your attention, dude, I can't even read your email, keywords in gaming, I present you with a reverse Stomp. The reason why I called it a reverse Stomp is because I only remember what it's about and not what it's called. Dude, how many times have we played this game? Remember when old Sippin had that game? He couldn't, like, figure out what it was.
Yes, it had, like, an Ankh in it or something.
And it was like, I think eventually we did find out what it was, but that was like 20 shows or something. We were trying to find the name of this game. Okay, so in this game, you run around with your little man shooting stuff in different worlds. For example, there were a world with dinos, one with a rabbit, and one with Cookie Man's. Well, I like that world.
Cookie Man.
I don't remember the weapons so much, even though they very much was a part of... Dude, come on. Grammar, motherfucker. Like, I can't read as it to begin with.
Dude, he's in Denmark. This is probably his Babelfish talking to us right now.
It is. All right. Well, they was very much part of what made this game genius. But I do recall the weapons you used to nuke them. Why the fuck does he listen to our show if he can't speak English? Anyway, a toothpaste gun. Also, you had little pectoral muscles. There was a guy wearing a green t-shirt, military pants, black boots. The game was entirely 2D. If anybody knows what this is, tell us. But by the way, I also got a jank of the week. Now that I live in Denmark or... Now, if you live in Denmark or you're willing to pay for a plane ticket, you can go get marathon underpants for just $25 at Quint and Brun's Gallery. Dude, it sounds like something in fucking Harry Potter. Well, if you go to Grubb's Tavern, take a left. Oh, they're like marathon underpants on this link. All right.
Yeah, that game sucked.
All
right.
Very clever. What's the next one here?
All right. Eric S. sent us two links. What are these, Blake?
I have not looked at them. Dude, I usually don't read the emails before the show.
Dude, this is a virus. Dude, we're not doing this.
Neither of these are opening for me.
All right, next one. Hendrik B.
Wait, Troy, wait, check this. Is a sec? No, neither of these are working.
All right. Hendrik B, I guess, wrote us a poem or some shit.
He sent this email, and the text was like, whatever the maximum font size is for email, that's what it came in. All right, so read this for us, Wayne Miller.
All right, big letters because Blake dumb. I guess you've resized it to accommodate my screen. It says, dear Blake Bliskin, and Blake Bliskin and the Cheetah Men. I guess I'm a Cheetah Man's. Just want to say I really enjoy the show. I've been listening since IMG episode 1. Wow, congratulations for sticking with us that long. Keep up
the great work.
Yeah, I'm sorry too.
How many hours of your life have we wasted?
I don't know. I do, however, have a question for you. I was listening to some of the old shows again. All right, I admit I've listened to all of them nearly 6 times. Jesus Christ! So,
tell me that.
So whatever happened to you guys and Mr. Easy to Say, Tom Barbalay? During one of the shows, you could hear Blake muttering something under his breath, but that was the last we ever heard of the matter. What actually happened? All right.
Okay. Enough time has passed. You know, I really don't even remember what happened with Tom.
All right, we'll set the record straight. So this is a very turbulent time.
For those who don't know, we used to have a guy who edited our show. His name was Tom Barbalay.
And he did a very, very good job. He was a great audio editor. We never had any problems with him. Whatever. He's always on time. And one of the shows, like, I said something about killing a dog.
Oh, that's right. I remember this.
You know, it was said in jest. It's not something I would ever do, obviously, but there was this dog.
You said something like there was a dog next door that was barking.
Yeah, this dog barks all the time.
And you're like,
door.
Oh, I just want to strangle that dog, that fucking piece of shit dog, right, is what you said.
Yes, it was, you know, it was hyperbole, right?
Right, and clearly we talk about raping babies and all sorts of terrible shit on this show.
Yeah, and so Tom got really upset, which, you know, he's a dog lover, and that's his thing, so whatever. And so we kind of parted ways after that, but we did so amiably. And I hope he still listens to the show. You know, we loved having him. But that's essentially what happened, and we were kind of put off by that for a while. But, you know, it's fine. No big deal.
Every single one of our you know, we've gone through a handful of audio editors on the show. And this goes out to our current audio editor as well. It's always when we always have problems with the audio editor when they want to change the content of the show.
Right.
That's what we always run. Like, they either want to get on the show, they want to be like a guest on the show, or they want to change the way we're doing it. And
listen to the audio editor we got now and all the future ones that we will have. If you come on the show, we will make fun of you ruthlessly. You will be battered and bruised. I mean,
do not come on the show and then expect you not to get made fun of certain someone who will remain nameless. Dude, I think he's still pissed at me. We don't talk on iChat like anymore.
So anyway, that's the story. Take it or leave it.
That does for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you think about that, Wade Miller?
It's a pretty good show. We'll get Justin Fick back next week.
Yeah, hopefully he can talk all about his exciting new game that I think he's like the lead on that game that he's working on, is he not?
I think he is that game. I think he's it's just him and maybe an artist.
That's awesome. So if you got any feedback, of course, it's feedback at best damn podcast ever. I'm gonna say the number, even though I've still failed to get the recorder working for it. It's 845-BATTLE-9. Sign up for battle. We got a couple people for battle made. Fick is usually the one that comes up with the real funny battles.
Yeah.
So we'll see next week if he has any ideas. And finally, if you'd like to donate to us, at donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com. So special thanks to Peachy Pseudo Sushi if he actually gets any shit done. And anybody else who helps with the show. For all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm a cheetah man.
It's easy to say Tom Barbalay. And we'll see you next time.